Welcome to the Stronger Women Podcast. I'm Casey.
I'm Shayla.
And we are so excited to discuss motherhood today. Shayla, we thank you so much for being here. And can you just share a little bit about yourself?
Well, specifically pertaining to being a mom, I guess, kind of going back to early childhood, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a preacher and counselor, and he kind of worked from home, so he was around a lot. Mm-hmm. And my mom chose to stay home and homeschool, and that really impacted me and kind of gave me a pattern I wanted to follow. Mm-hmm. Is that I knew that when I grew up, when I had kids, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with them. And so I made career choices that would make that possible. I chose to do a physical therapist assistant degree rather than going for the full physical therapist degree, because it's like, I don't want to go through 6, 8, now it's like 12 years of school, then to turn around and stay home. And it's like, that wouldn't be possible. Mm-hmm. So that their example and pattern impacted me and the choices I've made as a mom. I've been married for 15 years to James, who is very awesome. We'll talk more about him a little bit later.
He is.
And we have we have 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls. Currently, their ages are, let's see, we got birthdays coming up, so they're going to be off in like a month.
Okay.
But they're 13, 10, 9, and 6. And we homeschool. I stay at home. I do work part-time using my degree at a hospital. I work part-time. And one thing we did before we had kids was we pursued, I guess, education or advice on parenting. And so when we had kids, it's kind of like we had a foundation to build on, maybe more than some people when they start out, because it's something we'd actively kind of pursued. The downside of that is we were blessed with, I think, kind of easy babies, and we got complimented on how good our kids acted and how good of parents we were, and that kind of led to some pride of like, I'm being a good mom. This is
we
good.
Know what we're
this
doing.
Isn't too this isn't terribly hard. My kid's never going to act like that, you know. Even if I have that rowdy boy, I'm not going to let him do those things. And so that, you know, that leads to frustration later on whenever your pride gets burst and you get humbled. And
I feel that one. I feel it.
Right.
I only have 2.
And even, you know, there's been a lot of growth, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of growth. And then when you approached me about being on the podcast, I mean, it just immediately, I just had a horrible couple weeks where I was off schedule. I think it was an attack.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the enemy does target us. And I mean, I was sick for a week and a half. I was short-tempered with my kids. We were off schedule, and it was just looming over me. It's like, how am I going to share, you know, how to, I guess, be a good mom? What things have I learned if I'm not doing them right now, and this is so horribly hard? It wasn't horrible, but, you know. But that's just part of it. It's going to be up and down. It's going to be seasons. And last year, we stepped into foster parenting, which has been on my heart as something I wanted to do for over a decade. But we had young kids, so it's like, we've got to wait. And so we kind of fell into it suddenly. And if you ever want to feel like you don't know anything as a parent, step into that situation. And it was overwhelming, and there was a lot of good in it. But it's been a hard year. But there's been a lot of growth, and we've actually learned a lot of really good things through our training. We decided to go ahead and pursue being a licensed foster home. And so it's all working out for the good, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you sort of touched on this a little bit, but if you could sum up this season of motherhood in like one word or one phrase or a couple maybe, what would you say? I know what I would say.
I think season is a really good word.
Yeah, season.
Because consistency will vary. Your enthusiasm, your time for doing things, your child's developmental stages, all of that is changing and it goes up and down. Your personal spiritual health and growth is going to vary, go up and down. And so season is a really good word. And just know that, you know, this too will pass. Even if it's a hard season right now, it's going to get better. Another word that came to mind was growth. Our kids are beginning to get older. Before we had kids, I worked with children. I did therapy with young children. And so I had a pretty good grasp and education in child development and just working with kids. And so that stage, I think, came a little more naturally.
Yeah.
Now our kids are getting older and they're preteen and teenage. And so that's not an age I've worked with as much. And so there's a lot of changes. But, I mean, growth with the kids changing, but also growth as a mom and as a wife. I've wrote down, I'm trying to remember things I wanted to share, but parenting is a refiner's fire. And I have it later on in my notes, but it is way more about my maturing and spiritual growth than I ever thought it would be.
Same. I have learned so much. I feel like you're stretched to your limits, and that's when you really learn about yourself. And it's definitely a refining tool that God uses on us for sure. Well, when I think of passages in the Bible about parenting, the one that just comes in my head initially is Deuteronomy 6:4-9. And I'm going to go ahead and read that if you don't mind. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. A little bit of background. Moses is giving the second telling of the law to God's people. They've been wandering in the wilderness and they're ready for the promised land. But he's like, before he dies, he's like, just listen, hear me out. This is what God says. This is who you are. This is where you came from. Don't forget it. And don't let your kids forget me. And don't let your kids, don't let the next generation forget God. It's going to happen anyway, but spoiler alert. But I just thought it was a great passage because it applies to us now. So let me read that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God and Moses, they were serious about that, obviously. So how can we today live out those kind of instructions? Do you have any examples of daily life?
I do. And one thing I like about those verses is you can kind of take them literally.
Yeah.
Like what it says to do, you can kind of just do that.
But doorpost.
And one main thing is you can only continue pouring from a full cup. And so you've got to feed your soul, to fill your cup. I need time with God every day in the Bible, in prayer, in fellowship with other Christians to have that encouragement or kind of holding you accountable. But I need his word written on my heart. I need to memorize it. I have to know it if I'm going to share it. I mean, I can't, you know, I mean, I guess I could. I could just open the Bible and say, okay, read this. That's what it says. Or, you know, we'll read it together. And but if I don't know anything deeper than just reading through it, how am I going to answer their questions? How am I going to take it any deeper for them and help my kids be able to apply it to their own life? But it has to be in me before it can flow out in conversation. And so one of the habits I've tried to cultivate very strongly in my life, and again, it goes through ups and downs, but to have a dedicated time for personal study. And I mean study, not just reading through to check off the chapter, which has value, you know, to read through it because you need to know the whole story. But zooming in and looking at it closely, taking notes, cross-referencing, you know, I use a lot of study books, wide variety, but it really helps me be able to focus in and kind of ask those questions that don't just occur to me.
Yeah.
And having dedicated, set aside time for like fervent prayer is something that, again, is a habit that has kind of comes and goes, but I can tell a difference in my life when I do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so those are kind of my first thing. That's going to be first.
Yeah.
And then some of the other things are things that we've done with our kids. And I know people's time and just what they're able to do and what works for their kids, it's going to vary. But we have tried to do a weekly memory verse. Sometimes we don't do it, but we try to set it to song or hand motions, and we work on it as a family. And so the whole family learns it. We get the kids to write it out. Right now we have one written on our marker board, and we just kind of reviewed it today. And then in a couple days, I'll erase a few words, put in the blanks, and they'll come in and they'll fill in the blanks. And so it helps them start to learn it.
It's a great idea. You would be surprised, too, side note, how young kids can memorize scripture. I worked part-time for a Mother's Day out, but our two-year-olds in our program.
Especially if it's
not
music.
Perfect. with hand motions, with music. It's crazy how their minds are.
Their minds are you don't realize sponges. They're growing so fast.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, go on.
We also have a family habit of having an evening Bible time. And this is something we started with our firstborn. She was probably about two whenever we kind of switched it just from reading in the evenings to more of kind of a Bible-centered thing. But we've gone through different videos, study books, and just reading the Bible. I think reading the whole text to your kids is valuable. There's nothing wrong with children's Bibles. Sometimes having it broken down to their level, and especially those big, exciting stories, can really grab their attention.
Yeah.
But just reading through the Bible and don't skip parts.
Yeah.
That's part of going deeper, is allowing them to ask those questions of what does that word mean? And you give an age-appropriate response to something that, if you wait, could just be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Don't leave out the parts that aren't in the children Bibles.
Yeah.
Don't let them get to their teenage years and be like, I never knew that was in there.
Yeah.
Go dive into it.
And if you don't know the answer, like me sometimes, I've learned to say, I really don't know, but let's look into that.
Right. And that helps build their trust in your answers. If they see you admit, well, I don't know everything, but I do know where to look.
Yeah.
So let's go look. And that builds kind of their confidence in coming to you with questions that in their preteen and teen years, you want to have that already in place. We also, like, we'll pray together. We sing together. Our boys are kind of working on being able to song lead. And we have a set of song books that were from my home congregation. They closed their doors and we got some song books so we can have something for them to look at and sing from. Another thing we've done pretty consistently is we play an audio Bible for them at bedtime for sometimes the time varies, usually about an hour because some of them take a while to fall asleep. And there's a whole lot of different versions out there. You can get a dramatized version with music and battle sounds, and you can get one where, you know, Morgan Freeman is God. You know, he's voicing God. So you can, you know, there's a huge variety of what you can put out there. But they really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And
like as they're falling asleep.
As they're falling asleep.
I'm going to try that. It's a great idea.
It's pretty soothing.
Yeah.
We've tried different things before. Like there's a Children's Pilgrim's Progress
version.
And it gave one of my kids nightmares. He's like, it was so scary. I couldn't fall asleep.
Not the one for me.
Or it was too exciting. They couldn't. But kind of having that, I guess, just kind of the reading it through is soothing. They've gotten used to it, but they'll remember things and they'll bring it up and say, hey, that's the story we were listening to last night. So it's getting it in their head.
That's awesome.
It's
great idea.
Kind of, we already talked a little bit about having those open conversations, mm-hmm. and not only answering their questions, but also something that I think is important is when you say no to something, as in, no, we're not going to watch that movie, because go ahead and tell them why.
Yeah.
And point it back to your reasons. Hopefully they're scripturally based.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, because it has this, I don't know, maybe it's excessively violent. Maybe there's language in there that we don't want ever to get in our ears if we can avoid it. Because if it gets in there enough, it's going to start coming out.
Yeah.
But go ahead and address that.
Yeah.
And be willing to bring up those sometimes uncomfortable topics.
Yeah.
But they need to know you're willing to discuss things. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the discuss it while you walk along the way.
Yeah.
Is bring it up.
Yeah. Some people ask, what was I listening to? A podcast or something. And people ask, well, when do you talk about this topic? Or what age do you talk about this topic? And they're like, well, whenever they can mm-hmm. understand, just at age appropriate times.
Right.
And most of these things come up naturally mm-hmm. in our just being in the world. You know, we'll see something and my kids will be like, well, why is she doing that? And we're like, well, you know, mm-hmm. you can always give an age appropriate response and it doesn't have to be perfect. Like like you're saying, just opening those lines of communication is huge for, mm-hmm. for later on. I'm assuming I don't have teenagers, preteens yet. Taught them, but I don't have them personally. Was that all your daily things or you have more?
Another thing that isn't a daily thing, but is something that has kind of been on my mind is that we kind of, in my experience, Christians have a lack of testimony and a lack of sharing. Mm. And so I think that would be a really great thing to start with your kids.
Yeah.
Is start sharing, hey, we prayed for this, you know, last week. This is how God answered that prayer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I had this really tough time and this is how I got felt. I felt God help me through that. And I mean, we all need that. We all need that encouragement of this is what God is actually doing in our lives.
Yeah.
He didn't stay contained in the Bible. Mm-hmm. He's here, he's present, and he's active.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awesome. So switching gears a little bit. When I am on social media or listening to people that don't necessarily share my Christian faith, I sometimes hear lies. Like lies that the enemy feeds us. I don't know how you would want to word that.
That's appropriate.
Especially for mothers and motherhood. And I have even bought into some of those sometimes. So can you give us some examples on how we can combat those lies?
This one was a little bit hard, but
sorry.
So I did immediately have some pop into mind.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest ones directed at moms is that being a mom is unimportant. It's secondary. Mm-hmm. It should not be your pursuit. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be enough to mm-hmm. be a mom. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge lie. Early childhood is foundational. And it doesn't mean that if you had a horrible childhood that you're going to be totally messed up. But you can save a lot of trauma and heartache by having a solid foundation.
Yeah.
And I mean, that early childhood development and the attachment that begins even during pregnancy, before the child's ever born, their brain is growing and developing. And, you know, that's something that we've learned through our foster parent training mm-hmm. is the difference in brain development based on those early, early mm-hmm. years. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the biggest lie that's put out there right now.
Yeah.
And has been for decades.
Yeah.
And I think giving, I don't know how to word it, but giving moms permission to be attached to their children mm-hmm. and to want to be there.
Yeah.
And to let that be enough.
Yeah.
That it's okay.
Yeah. For sure.
Another one that I've heard a lot, just, you know, out there is don't be dependent on a man. You know, be willing, be able to support yourself, like be ready at a moment's notice for him to leave, and you have to do everything.
Yeah.
And that's not God's design. And I know that there are a lot of different situations and there's a lot of brokenness in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my awesome husband is not every man out there. Yeah. And so my situation and experiences can't necessarily be applied across the board.
Yeah.
But marriage is designed by God to reflect both the gospel and how, I mean, it's very clearly stated in Ephesians how it's an example of how Christ loves the church is how a husband loves his wife.
Yeah.
But there's also supposed to be a reflection of unity there that I think kind of reflects the unity of God is how you have different parts coming together and being one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of beauty and there's a lot of strength in that. It's hard, but it's worth fighting for and making that a very high priority.
Absolutely.
A couple other lies that I think I've seen is one that you can have it all, is that you can have the career and you can be the awesome mom and you can do it all. You can have it all. And busyness, being so busy, is becoming accepted. And I think people don't always realize how much stress they're under. But I see it. We've made some choices that has given us as a family a lot of peace and a lot of time. And whenever I see friends who are just crushed under busyness, it's, and sometimes it's hard to see. And it's like, I want to say, hey, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah, but it's like, you can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, you're doing too much. You're doing it wrong. You should just stop. I mean, that would not be the way to approach it.
Yeah. You probably saw that in me.
Yeah. A little bit. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And again, it's a season. But there is a lot of, there's a lot more peace out there than I think people let themselves experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned this lesson the hard way. I was a do-it-all career mom and, I'm doing something totally different now that I would have never. Sorry. I knew I was going to cry with you, Shayla.
I tried to make you laugh instead.
No, I just, by the grace of God, my life is totally unrecognizable from what it once was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's worthwhile. You need to cultivate that family time, that time to just be together and build relationship. That's what the family was designed for. That's one of people's biggest needs, not only relationship with God, but with each other. And the family is the foundation.
Yeah.
And, you know, do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it any other different, but have your meals together, try to do activities together. I think especially in Texas, sports is a huge deal and it takes up so much time.
Yeah.
And I think especially with younger kids, they would be just as happy to go kick the ball in the backyard with the family as to get up and spend a whole day out in the heat playing soccer. Yeah. I don't know. We felt a little bit of pressure to put our kids into things. And we've been very selective.
Yeah.
Right now we are doing taekwondo as a family.
Yeah.
And our girls are doing horse riding, which is something that is very, it's a big for them.
Yeah.
And one of our sons is very much wanting to play sports. And I think we're about ready to step into that. But we waited because we wanted that time. We didn't want to be busy and rushing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to switch gears again a little bit and ask. So there's a lot of moms, speaking from just personal experience, I'm sure there's a lot of moms out there who are just tired or discouraged, or there's wonderful, beautiful things about being a mom. Like, but it can be exhausting. Do you have any words of advice or encouragement? Please. Well,
I've been there. Believe me. I try to be careful how I share this part of my history, 'cause I don't ever want to make one of my children feel like he wasn't wanted. But after we had three children, I was done. I mean, our two youngest were less than 2 years apart, mm-hmm. and it was hard. And we also had this idea, well, we want to foster someday, so we've got to, like, save room in our house, yeah. and we want to eventually not have babies, you know, yeah. so we can do that. Yeah. And so James and I talked about it, and we're like, yeah, we're good. We're yeah. ready to stop here. And we sold our baby stuff. And then yeah. the next week, I found out I was pregnant.
Isn't that the way that happens?
And I laughed, and that's how he got his name.
Yeah.
So, yep. But that was really hard.
And he's the best.
He is so fun.
They're all the best.
They are all awesome. And I wouldn't trade any of them. But it was really hard for probably 2 years. That pregnancy was harder than the others. I mean, I had two in diapers still, and yeah. I had more aches and pains. And it was then that first year of just having three little ones and feeling so overwhelmed and so inadequate mm-hmm. and just frustrated and isolated. And then having that realization that I am acting in a way, I am accepting behavior in myself that I would never allow in my children. Mm-hmm. I'm losing my temper. I'm storming around the room. I am slamming doors. And it was bad, you know? Maybe outside we kind of kept up our facade.
Yeah.
But it was really rough.
Yeah.
And one thing that did help me was reading, is probably a blog post. You know, this is before podcasts.
Yeah.
the lady who wrote it had, I think, six children. And she said, you know, she had a new mother come up to her and it's like, how do you do this with six children? I can barely manage it with one. And she's like, well, I felt the same way when I had one. And you're going to feel overwhelmed and maxed out at every stage at the beginning.
Yeah.
But you'll grow into it. Mm-hmm. And God will equip you for it. One thing my dad used to say was that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And if you have children, you're called to motherhood.
Yeah.
And he will equip you.
Yeah.
And you'll grow, just like, you know, at work when I'm doing physical therapy with people and tell them you use it or lose it. You know, you've got to get up. You've got to work, move around and use those muscles to be able to regain your strength and to grow.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with our character and with our parenting.
Yeah.
Another big thing that helped me was those feelings of inadequacy and I can't do enough was finally realizing it's like, you're right.
Yeah, you can't.
You are not enough. You can't do enough. Guess what? That's true. Mm-hmm. But God never asked us to do it alone.
Yeah.
And it's his spirit that strengthens us mm-hmm. for every day. Yeah. And it really is kind of a daily thing.
Yeah.
Just because yesterday was awesome, you're going to have to ask for his strength again the next day because it's going to be a whole new set of circumstances.
I saw somebody yesterday with a shirt on that said, a mom that said, you aren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds ugly. Like it does. On the surface it sounds, but it's true. Like we, our strength is from the Lord. And anyway, moving on.
Well, there's a reason that the character qualities in Galatians are called the fruit of the Spirit, because it really does come through the Spirit working in you mm-hmm. to give you that patience that mm-hmm. you need with your kids, that mm-hmm. self-control whenever everyone else is losing their minds, mm-hmm. to continue to be kind mm-hmm. whenever, you know, sometimes kids aren't kind.
Mm-hmm.
Those qualities really do come from the Spirit working in you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of, I guess, the advice, things that I've would recommend to a mom who's feeling in that spot mm-hmm. was, number one, spend your time, any alone time, any me time that you do have, feeding your soul and filling your cup, because that's where you're going to have the strength and the ability mm-hmm. to go out and mother
and to not feel
right.
Yeah.
That's got to be first. And like I said before, parenting is way more about me. Mm-hmm. Again, that sounds bad, but it's way more about my reactions and my spiritual growth and my maturity than I ever thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of growing. I know I have a lot more to do, but
yeah, same.
Another recommendation would be do some learning about child development, mm-hmm. and especially yes. like the neurodevelopment and the body-brain connection. Mm-hmm. That's really been driven home over the last year. With foster parenting, you're pretty much guaranteed the child that comes into your home is coming from a background of trauma, mm-hmm. and there's changes and different things going on. But there's a lot of application that can be made to the kids in your home who maybe haven't experienced that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they have. There's a lot of sources of trauma, and that does change the way your brain works.
Yeah.
But one thing I would recommend is look at attachment styles mm-hmm. and learn a little bit about TBRI, which you're going to ask me what that acronym is for, and I will not be able to tell you right now.
I should know what that is, too.
Trust-based relational intervention.
Oh, there we go.
But it really focuses on connection. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the basis of parenting and being a mom is building that connection with your child mm-hmm. that then you can correct from.
Yeah.
And they have another acronym, something that they teach you early on is the ideal response is mm-hmm. to be immediate. Mm-hmm. You cannot parent from the couch. You're going to have to get up yeah. and go to where the kids are. Mm-hmm. Still working on that. I cannot yell from the kitchen yeah. to my child in the bedroom and really expect them to hear me
yeah.
and respond to what I'm saying or what I'm correcting them.
Yeah.
It should also be directed at the behavior. It's so many times we snap at the child.
Yeah.
And don't take into account how we would want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know. We always want to excuse it. Well, I'm having a bad day. I have these excuses of why I'm acting this way. And give the same grace to your child mm-hmm. and focus on, okay, the behavior needs corrected. I still love you and you are precious.
Yeah.
You also want to be efficient. You want to begin with just a playful correction and not immediately go to that
yeah.
top down, harsh, this is how it's going to be, which yeah. I did so much of
yeah.
as in my early days of parenting was an immediately, okay, this is, mm-hmm. you know, that harsh line.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've got things we got to work on because of that, but
I could say the same thing in teaching and parenting.
Yes. But the rest of that acronym or you want to have action-based, correction, something that they can do into practice because yeah. whenever you practice it the right way, that begins to build the pathways in your brain. So that becomes more of your first response.
Yeah.
I see that a lot in some of my kids of how their first reaction is maybe this explosion. And then once they have a time to kind of think about it, they're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And they know I don't need to come down on them like a ton of bricks
yeah.
and get onto them for like, you should know better. They do know yeah. better, but their brain is just catching yeah. up. And I need to give them that grace.
Yeah.
So kind of going along with that, take time to practice mm-hmm. and role play and kind of train your child. Some people yeah. don't like that word train, but
yeah.
it's practice. Whenever it's not an emotional explosion, you want to be able to set those reactions and set those pathways, both for yourself yeah. and for your child.
Yeah.
So
that's biblical. Train up your child.
Train up your child.
Literally. Yeah. Awesome.
Also, read good parenting books that come from a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And also that kind of bring in some of that childhood development.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
A lot of really good ones. And I could recommend some. But yeah.
I can get a list from you and we can make those available on
And ask for help. See if there are mentors out there that you can go to who maybe have children that you think their personalities were similar or maybe have a similar age range who's been there, done that, and probably has gained some wisdom. And go ask.
Yeah. I wanted to just take a moment to talk about fathers. You talked a little bit about fathers. God's design gives fathers such a crucial role. And a unique role in the family unit. And how can mothers, how did I word it? How can mothers support dads in that role?
I think one thing is make your marriage a very high priority. Yeah. It's going to require work and it's going to require time. Don't ignore issues. Again, find mentors who you can see they have a good marriage. What can you tell me that, what's your advice?
Yeah.
But make that a priority and spend time together. One of the biggest things that I try to focus on, and actually when I asked James, so we're going to talk a little bit about supporting dads in their role. What would you like me to say something I do? And what he told me is what I had come up with. But be their biggest fan.
Yeah.
And build them up. Praise their effort. Make a big deal when they help. And I know that can be hard. I've been very blessed with a husband who is a big helper and wants to lighten my burden.
Yeah.
But he told me, he's like, I don't like to take out the trash, but because you make a big deal about it, it makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
And so just because maybe I don't get a pat on the back or a hug whenever I take out the trash doesn't mean I can't give it to him.
Yeah.
Because it really does make a difference.
And that's a countercultural thought, too. It is. That's, yeah. But I see that in my own marriage. Mm-hmm. That positivity can just really build up your husband.
Mm-hmm. Another big thing is I was listening to a podcast the other day, just a part of it. I didn't get to finish it, but the lady on there, the host was asking, so sometimes you see things in your husband that you want to change and you want to address, but you know that's not your role. You know that's God. Yeah. So what do you recommend? And the other lady said, well, one thing she heard or reminds herself of is that inside every man, there's a king and there's a fool. Mm. And until I can see my husband as God sees him, I don't need to address him as I would the fool. It's like, I want to speak to the king to build up in him what I want to see. And contempt is probably the biggest killer of marriages.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's no way to hide that. Mm-hmm. If you let yourself have contempt for someone and just think, and what a fool, or how dare they, or they're, you know, just to cut them off at the knees.
Yeah.
It's deadly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great analogy. Great thought. So are you ready to move on, or do you have any more father?
We can go.
Okay. I'm going to move on. Our sound guy over there is going to get irritated. I'm sorry, Sean. Okay. So there are many Christian women, probably some that are going to be listening to us that aren't mothering. I hope we haven't lost them by this point. I hope they're still listening because this applies to them. They're not currently mothering children in their home. They might have had children before. They might be grandmothers. They might be aunts, friends, teachers. Can you speak on what impact those women can have on our kids?
They can have a huge impact. We don't have any family here in Abilene. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful church family, but we don't have grandparents, aunts, and uncles to be here. And I wish we did. Mm-hmm. But whenever our oldest was maybe just 6 months old, and I was, you know, feeling so isolated, and I made the decision, I am going to go to the ladies' Bible class on Tuesday mornings.
Yeah.
And, you know, only one with a child, youngest person there. But that allowed me to build relationships with those older women.
Yeah.
And some of them were very, very close. And we had especially this one lady who adopted us as her children and as my kid's grandma. And she was so present in their lives. She would come to events. She would offer to babysit. And she's like, just ask me anytime. Yeah. If I can't do it, I'll tell you, but just ask me.
Yeah.
And it meant so much to her that we let her do that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we did. And that we would ask for that help. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of find your people.
Yeah. Those intergenerational relationships are just, they're so important. They're so important.
They are. And our kids enjoy having the older ladies come over and watch them.
All
That's still basically our babysitters are some of those older ladies.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've ever actually paid a babysitter.
Yeah.
We've had people volunteer. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
And allowing them to do that has, they tell us, it's like, I enjoy doing it. Let me know the next time that I can. And also, as our kids get older and maybe can stay more on their own, kind of supervise each other for short periods of time, but they are going to need, like you said, those intergenerational relationships. Mm-hmm. They need friendships. They need mentors as they get older. Adults other than their parents who will give them godly advice, who will help point them consistently towards God. And I want to pull those people in around my kids.
Yeah.
And I already kind of have my eye out on, you're somebody I want to be friends with so you can be around my kids.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
Well, our podcast is called Stronger Women because we hope that every woman can claim what Psalm 118:14 proclaims. And I'm going to read that. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And I like to ask all of our guests, how do you find strength in God's word? And are there any specific passages you might recommend for encouragement?
One of the earliest verses I remember memorizing, or sections that was more than one verse as a kid, was Proverbs 3:5-6. Mm-hmm. I was probably 5 or 6 years old whenever we memorized that in our family. Mm-hmm. But just that reminder to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And that's very comforting as a parent.
Yeah.
Going into these stages and not knowing what to do. Just the reminder to trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
And that he will direct your path. And I was looking at other verses, or I didn't really look up, I was just thinking, what are other things that kind of go to or come to mind whenever I'm needing strength? And Romans 8. Was one of the first ones. And you can't pull it out without, you know, Romans 7 and Romans 6. But especially 8 just really speaks to me.
Yeah.
How it starts out with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so going back to where it's like, you're not enough, you can't do it on your own. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not enough for God.
Yeah.
There's no condemnation left over for you. I was looking earlier for a verse in Hebrews that really changed me a couple years ago when I was studying through Hebrews, but where it talks about how Jesus, and again, I couldn't find it, and so I couldn't refresh my memory on how it's worded, but like he drank the cup of God's wrath to the dregs. So it's gone. There's none left that he's holding in store, just waiting for me to slip up. There's no condemnation waiting for me. And I belong to him. And I'm free from the power of sin, even whenever I want to try and hold on to it, because I'm not ready to let that particular pet thing go. I'm free from it. And like we were talking earlier about how you need the strength of this of the Spirit in your life. And in 8, it talks about letting the Spirit control your mind. And that gives you life and peace. And that's what we all need and want more of, is that peace. Later on in the chapter, it talks about how we were adopted as children. And now we have access to God as our Father. And again, that's something that's talked about in Hebrews. But having that open interaction, that's huge.
It's like, and almost it's unfathomable for us, the real gift, like what that means. It's awesome.
And how the Spirit will help us and intercede for us. So when we don't know how to say it, he'll say it for us.
Yeah.
And that's a huge comfort.
Yeah.
There's a lot of peace in that. And then, you know, probably the most famous part of chapter 8, before you get into where nothing will separate us from the love of God, mm-hmm. is how God works all things together for the good. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that. I've seen that in my life, how different times, like some of the hardest times was when we had two miscarriages, mm-hmm. you know, within like a 6 to 8 month span.
Wow.
And it's like, how could this, you know, it was just,
how could this
it was
be
just
good?
So hard. Yeah. But I've seen good things come from that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, directly from that, things that I learned that it prepared me for.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through some of the foster care last year and looking into the future, having that as a goal, something that mm-hmm. we want to do. We want to be there for those kids in some way.
Yeah.
And it'll work out. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But it'll work out.
Yeah.
Another verse that comes to mind a lot is Philippians 1, verse 6. And Philippians is full of those verses that you mm-hmm. can pull out and just put up on your wall as a quote, because they're succinct, they're complete, and they're encouraging.
Yeah.
But Philippians 1, verse 6 talks about, he who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Mm. He's going to keep working on you. It'll be finished when Christ comes, but he's going to keep working on you.
Yeah.
And that's very encouraging to me as I look at all the things that need to be changed in my life.
It's not over till it's over.
One thing I've been studying recently in my personal Bible time is the book of James. Mm. And in James chapter 1 is kind of what I just went through in the last couple weeks, is seeing your troubles as an opportunity for joy.
Yeah.
How that testing grows your endurance mm-hmm. and grows your faith. How God promises that if you ask for wisdom without wavering, he will give it to you generously. And mm-hmm. that's so encouraging.
Ask for wisdom.
That feeling of God will say yes to that prayer.
Yes.
Sometimes we pray, you know, Lord, if it's your will, and can we kind of leave it up there of maybe.
Yeah.
But that's like, God says, yes, I will give you wisdom.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Yeah, that's great. Well, what you've shared has been super insightful and valuable, and I'm so glad you came on, Shayla. Do you have like three maybe little spitfire takeaways to leave us on?
A few.
Go
prioritize your relationship with God.
Okay.
That has to be first. Also, build connection with your kids. Mm. Set in that time to be together. Do things together. Say no to those things that are going to pull you different directions and take up all your time and add stress to your day.
Yeah.
But build connection. And I was going to mention this earlier, but I didn't. But watch Bluey.
Oh, yeah.
We were really late on the bandwagon with that.
That's a big one.
But it's just so encouraging to see the reactions of the parents. I mean, yes, Bluey and Bingo are fun and they're cute, but watch the parents. What do they do?
Yeah.
They give their kids time and mm-hmm. they play with them.
Yeah.
And even as, you know, my kids are getting older into the preteen and teen years, there's a lot of play mm-hmm. we can do to build connection.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend build watching connection. Bluey.
Yep. Me too. Well, we appreciate you so much for joining us again. And I also want to say thank you to the Baker Heights Church of Christ and Sean over there, who's sat through this much longer than normal podcast. Thank you, Sean. But if you want to get some more content from us, go to bakerheights.org/strongerwomen. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and give us a shout out. Follow us. Give us some of your best parenting tips, Mom. Lastly, if you'd like a free Bible study online or by mail, you can visit bigcountry.worldbibleschool.org. We thank you guys so much for listening to us today.
Thank you.